Hello. This is the IGCSE English as a Second Language Paper 2 Listening, Winter 2008. This test is in three sections. You will hear three extracts and will have to answer questions on what you hear. At the beginning of each extract, there will be a pause to give you time to read the questions. You will hear all three sections twice. Write your answers in the spaces in your question booklet as you listen. Section A. In this section, you will hear an education officer talking to a group of students who have just arrived at a study centre in the countryside, where they'll stay for three nights. Listen and complete the notes. Write no more than three words for each answer. First, you have 1 minute to read the questions. Now listen and answer the questions.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to the Greenfield Study Centre. I'm Jane Hamilton, and I'm the Education Officer at the Centre. I hope you all had a good journey and that you enjoy the rest of your stay with us. Before I talk about the programme for today and tomorrow, I just want to draw your attention to the facilities here. You arrived very late last night, so you may not have had time to explore the centre. There is a student common room on the ground floor, and we show a different film there each night at 7:30 p.m. You will also find games in the room. We have a pool table and table tennis set up in there for you. You are most welcome to make full use of these. The centre also has a tuck shop opposite the office. And this is open three times a day for drinks, sweets and souvenirs. I think that some of you have already discovered that the clothes you've brought are not up to the job. Don't despair. You can borrow outdoor clothing and footwear from the centre's kit store. One final thing. There is a drying room next to the kitchen, so you don't have to worry about getting wet whilst you're out in the field. So, let's move on to the programme now. You are here for the short programme, so let me warn you, you are in for a rather packed schedule. I understand that you are a mixed group of geography and biology students. Well, today you will spend part of the day working on a joint project, and tomorrow you will be focusing on your own subject more. Today, you will all be examining the impact of tourism on the area. Geography students, you will be walking over to Brodick Village to conduct counts on visitor numbers to certain places in the village. You will be concentrating on food businesses. This will include the cafes, snack bars, restaurants, and all takeaways. In the afternoon, you are conducting another study at the deer farm. You will be going to the information centre at the farm to ask visitors about their shopping habits. Biologists, you will be looking at the problem of waste disposal in the area. This involves studying the beach near the village where many visitors spend their time. You will be investigating the level of rubbish they leave there. This will involve documenting the type of rubbish found according to whether it is food, recyclable or non-recyclable products. You will also be looking at the plant and animal life. At the deer farm this afternoon, you will be looking at a problem the farmer's been having with his trees. The deer are causing a lot of damage to them, and he has come up with quite an interesting solution. Tomorrow, both groups will be going to Ranza Bay in the north and investigating the fascinating landscape which has made the area so famous. The mountains and valleys were carved out by glaciers millions of years ago. Geography students, you will spend the day studying rock formations and the famous caves. As for the biology students, you will be looking at the ecology of the freshwater stream that enters the bay. You will spend some time analyzing its salt content, as this has an important impact on the types of fish found there. Later on, you will also go to the beach to carry out some data collection work at the grey seal colony nearby. As for the evenings, I know that you will have lots of work to do on your projects, but we have laid on something for tonight and tomorrow night. In addition to the video in the common room, if you would like to make your way to the kitchen at 8 o'clock, our chef will let you try your hand at preparing your own dish of fish that has been caught locally. No previous experience is required, so do come along and enjoy the fun. At the same time tomorrow, you have the chance to show off your general knowledge as we will be holding our quiz night. Bring along 3 friends and make a team. There are prizes for everyone. So that's about it from me. If you could now get into 2 groups, we will start off for the village.
Now listen a second time and check your answers.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to the Greenfield Study Centre. I'm Jane Hamilton, and I'm the Education Officer at the Centre. I hope you all had a good journey and that you enjoy the rest of your stay with us. Before I talk about the programme for today and tomorrow, I just want to draw your attention to the facilities here. You arrived very late last night, so you may not have had time to explore the centre. There is a student common room on the ground floor, and we show a different film there each night at 7:30 p.m. You will also find games in the room. We have a pool table and table tennis set up in there for you. You are most welcome to make full use of these. The centre also has a tuck shop opposite the office, and this is open 3 times a day for drinks, sweets and souvenirs. I think that some of you have already discovered that the clothes you've brought are not up to the job. Don't despair. You can borrow outdoor clothing and footwear from the centre's kit store. One final thing. There is a drying room next to the kitchen, so you don't have to worry about getting wet whilst you're out in the field. So, let's move on to the programme now. You are here for the short programme, so let me warn you, you are in for a rather packed schedule. I understand that you are a mixed group of geography and biology students. Well, today you will spend part of the day working on a joint project, and tomorrow you will be focusing on your own subject more. Today you will all be examining the impact of tourism on the area. Geography students, you will be walking over to Brodick Village to conduct counts on visitor numbers to certain places in the village. You will be concentrating on food businesses. This will include the cafes, snack bars, restaurants, and all takeaways. In the afternoon, you are conducting another study at the deer farm. You will be going to the information centre at the farm to ask visitors about their shopping habits. Biologists, you will be looking at the problem of waste disposal in the area. This involves studying the beach near the village where many visitors spend their time. You will be investigating the level of rubbish they leave there. This will involve documenting the type of rubbish found according to whether it is food, recyclable or non-recyclable products. You will also be looking at the plant and animal life. At the deer farm this afternoon, you will be looking at a problem the farmer's been having with his trees. The deer are causing a lot of damage to them, and he has come up with quite an interesting solution. Tomorrow, both groups will be going to Ranza Bay in the north and investigating the fascinating landscape which has made the area so famous. The mountains and valleys were carved out by glaciers millions of years ago. Geography students, you will spend the day studying rock formations and the famous caves. As for the biology students, you will be looking at the ecology of the freshwater stream that enters the bay. You will spend some time analyzing its salt content, as this has an important impact on the types of fish found there. Later on, you will also go to the beach to carry out some data collection work at the grey seal colony nearby. As for the evenings, I know that you will have lots of work to do on your projects, but we have laid on something for tonight and tomorrow night. In addition to the video in the common room, if you would like to make your way to the kitchen at 8 o'clock, our chef will let you try your hand at preparing your own dish of fish that has been caught locally. No previous experience is required, so do come along and enjoy the fun. At the same time tomorrow, you have the chance to show off your general knowledge as we will be holding our quiz night. Bring along 3 friends and make a team. There are prizes for everyone. So that's about it from me. If you could now get into 2 groups, we will start off for the village.
That's the end of Section A. Now turn to Section B. Section B. In this section, you will hear 2 students, Mark and Amy, discussing plans to set up a support group for students in the school. Listen and answer the questions. Indicate your answer by marking the box. If you change your mind, put a line through the box and then indicate your new answer with a cross. First, you have 1 minute to read the questions. Now listen and answer the questions.
Hi, Amy. Sorry I'm late.
No problem, Mark. Well, now that we have permission from the headmistress to go ahead with the support group, we need to decide on a few important points.
Well, let's start with what support the group will offer.
I think we should provide an opportunity for students to chat about problems at school, such as making friends or if they're feeling low. And what about helping students if they're having problems with their schoolwork?
Well, we could, but I think we should really direct them to the school advisors. They're the ones to talk to about that. Plus, there's a new reading support group starting, so I think that kind of thing is already covered.
OK, then. What about rooms? How many do we need?
I think we should have a small one for one-to-one conversations, and another nearby, which is like a drop-in centre with games and stuff, where you can come and get to know other people.
Well, there are some rooms in the sixth form block that would be ideal.
I was thinking of somewhere in the main school.
No, that won't work because of the new school rules. All the lower school now gets kicked out of there at break time and lunch time unless they have a good reason. The classrooms are locked and the teachers are on duty. Even the locker rooms are out of bounds. They want to know where you're going if they see you inside the building, even when you go into clubs. What if someone wants to go to the support centre and he or she doesn't want to stay? Well, the teachers won't be happy about that.
But then the sixth form block is not going to work as the younger students will find it impossible to go in there.
What about the temporary classrooms?
They're a bit far from everything. We need to be somewhere closer to the centre of the school.
But we don't want to make it too public.
Good point. A more out-of-the-way place would be better.
I'll tell the headmistress.
When are we going to be open? Break time and lunchtime, or just lunchtime?
The breaks are too short. The bell for the next class would go before we'd even open the place up.
You're right. We could get there early, but most students are often let out of class late.
And other times, such as before or after school, are not going to achieve much.
OK, we've sorted the time out.
We also need to think about how students are going to know that we're part of the support group.
We could wear badges.
That's fine if you're in Year 10 and are out in the playground, but not if you're in Year 12 like us. We don't usually hang around there.
But you can't ask the Year 10s who are doing peer support to wear badges and not the Year 12s.
No, I don't mean that. I think the whole group should wear badges. But we should also have our photo on a poster somewhere in the main school.
Yes, that's not a bad idea.
And we also need to decide when we tell the students about the group.
I think we should do it at year assemblies. Then we could do something a bit different for each age group.
Yes. The younger students will be easier to reach than the older ones. What would be best for them?
Well, they are more likely to take part, so what about a game or a story?
Definitely not a story. They're not in primary school anymore.
Well, I wasn't planning on telling them a fairy story, but I see what you mean. How about a game, then?
Not sure. Let's leave that for a moment and think about the Year 9s.
They are going to be harder to interest than the Year 7s, so I wouldn't plan on anything that needs participation.
No. You're right. We could show them something off the TV or have a PowerPoint presentation.
Just don't expect them to respond at the end. We're going to have to think very carefully about what we do with them.
Oh, there's so much to do. We need to have a meeting with the others. When are you free again?
I'm around on Wednesday, but some of the others are going to a schools conference. Thursday or Friday after school might be better.
I can't do Thursday, but Friday's fine.
OK, I'll organise that with the others. Where shall we have it? At school? In town? At my place?
Well, we all have to walk to the main square to catch our buses home. Why don't we meet at a cafe there? It'll be good to relax as well as do some serious stuff.
OK then, I'll sort that out.
Now listen a second time and check your answers.
Hi, Amy. Sorry I'm late.
No problem, Mark. Well, now that we have permission from the headmistress to go ahead with the support group, we need to decide on a few important points.
Well, let's start with what support the group will offer.
I think we should provide an opportunity for students to chat about problems at school, such as making friends, or if they're feeling low. And what about helping students if they're having problems with their schoolwork?
Well, we could, but I think we should really direct them to the school advisers. They're the ones to talk to about that. Plus, there's a new reading support group starting, so I think that kind of thing is already covered.
OK, then. What about rooms? How many do we need?
I think we should have a small one for one-to-one conversations, and another nearby, which is like a drop-in centre with games and stuff, where you can come and get to know other people.
Well, there are some rooms in the sixth form block that would be ideal.
I was thinking of somewhere in the main school.
No, that won't work because of the new school rules. All the lower school now gets kicked out of there at break time and lunch time unless they have a good reason. The classrooms are locked and the teachers are on duty. Even the locker rooms are out of bounds. They want to know where you're going if they see you inside the building, even when you go into clubs. What if someone wants to go to the support centre and he or she doesn't want to stay? Well, the teachers won't be happy about that.
But then the sixth form block is not going to work as the younger students will find it impossible to go in there.
What about the temporary classrooms?
They are a bit far from everything. We need to be somewhere closer to the centre of the school.
But we don't want to make it too public.
Good point. A more out-of-the-way place would be better.
I'll tell the headmistress.
When are we going to be open? Break time and lunchtime, or just lunchtime?
The breaks are too short. The bell for the next class would go before we'd even open the place up.
You're right. We could get there early, but most students are often let out of class late.
And other times, such as before or after school, are not going to achieve much.
OK, we've sorted the time out.
We also need to think about how students are going to know that we're part of the support group.
We could wear badges.
That's fine if you're in Year 10 and are out in the playground, but not if you're in Year 12 like us. We don't usually hang around there.
But you can't ask the Year 10s who are doing peer support to wear badges and not the Year 12s.
No, I don't mean that. I think the whole group should wear badges, but we should also have our photo on a poster somewhere in the main school.
Yes, that's not a bad idea.
And we also need to decide when we tell the students about the group.
I think we should do it at year assemblies. Then we could do something a bit different for each age group.
Yes. The younger students will be easier to reach than the older ones. What would be best for them?
Well, they are more likely to take part, so what about a game or a story?
Definitely not a story. They're not in primary school anymore.
Well, I wasn't planning on telling them a fairy story, but I see what you mean. How about a game, then?
Not sure. Let's leave that for a moment and think about the Year 9s.
They are going to be harder to interest than the Year 7s, so I wouldn't plan on anything that needs participation.
No, you're right. We could show them something off the TV or have a PowerPoint presentation.
Just don't expect them to respond at the end. We're going to have to think very carefully about what we do with them.
Oh, there's so much to do. We need to have a meeting with the others. When are you free again?
I'm around on Wednesday, but some of the others are going to a schools conference. Thursday or Friday after school might be better.
I can't do Thursday, but Friday's fine.
OK, I'll organise that with the others. Where shall we have it? At school? In town? At my place?
Well, we all have to walk to the main square to catch our buses home. Why don't we meet at a cafe there? It'll be good to relax as well as do some serious stuff.
OK, then. I'll sort that out.
That's the end of Section B. Now turn to Section C. Section C. In this section, you will hear a talk by the president of the Solar Decathlon. This is a competition for university students which takes place every 4 years. Listen and complete the sentences. Write no more than 3 words and or numbers for each answer. First, you have 1 minute to read the questions. Now listen and answer the questions.
The Solar Decathlon is a competition in which 20 teams of university students compete to design, build, and operate the most attractive and energy-efficient house. But the most important condition of the competition is that the houses they build must only use the power of the sun to provide all the energy needs of a typical household. During the competition, students will test their houses in 10 contests. These range from architecture and comfort to how well the homes perform tasks such as heating water and powering appliances. The students spend almost 2 years designing and building their approximately 800 square foot homes and preparing for the competition. They transport their solar houses to the competition site and rebuild them in a solar village. The public is invited to tour the solar homes and other activities and exhibits at the event. The houses are designed to take advantage of heat and light from the sun and cooling breezes and shading. The students add to this natural advantage through their ingenious use of high-tech materials on the market. In the process, they absorb a valuable lesson. Energy is a precious commodity. One of the contests, which forms part of the competition, tests the energy use of the key equipment in the house. During the competition, they must wash and dry 12 towels for 2 days, cook and serve meals for 4 days, clean dishes using a dishwasher for 4 days, and operate a TV video player for up to 6 hours, and a computer for up to 8 hours for 5 days. In the comfort test, teams have to design their houses to remain at a steady, uniform, comfortable temperature of 22 to 24 degrees Celsius and relative humidity ranges between 40 and 55%. In the getting around contest, students must use electricity generated by their houses to power an electric car, and the one which completes the greatest number of miles wins the contest. Last year, the competition was won by a university from Germany. The most impressive aspect of their design was the doors. These had wooden panels onto which they had attached solar electric cells in order to capture the sun's rays. The wooden panels were constantly adjusted by a computer to take advantage of the angle of the sun. The students had also considered the fact that in some parts of the world, you can sometimes go several weeks without seeing any sun. Their system was good enough to work without direct sunlight, and even on cloudy days, they could generate enough power to run the house. The runner-up in the competition was an American university. The most innovative feature of their house was a waterfall, which was part of the system to control humidity. The system uses a chemical to remove water from the air, and instead of hiding this process in a cupboard somewhere, they made it into a beautiful and functional feature of the house. As far as we know, this system has never been used inside another home before. And that is one of the reasons why this competition was created, to show how solar energy technologies can be used in the home and so, it is hoped, speed up the process of making them available to everyone. We hope that the Solar Decathlon will encourage students to pursue careers in science and engineering. We also hope that it raises awareness among the general public about this form of renewable energy. We need to think in new ways about energy and how it affects our daily lives. In this country, we use enormous amounts of electricity, and about 85% of that use comes from burning fossil fuels. Our homes account for 21% of total energy consumption. That represents a huge amount of energy. The Solar Decathlon provides students with the opportunity to research energy efficiency and show the world what can be done.
Now listen a second time and check your answers.
The Solar Decathlon is a competition in which 20 teams of university students compete to design, build, and operate the most attractive and energy-efficient house. But the most important condition of the competition is that the houses they build must only use the power of the sun to provide all the energy needs of a typical household. During the competition, students will test their houses in 10 contests. These range from architecture and comfort to how well the homes perform tasks such as heating water and powering appliances. The students spend almost 2 years designing and building their approximately 800 square foot homes and preparing for the competition. They transport their solar houses to the competition site and rebuild them in a solar village. The public is invited to tour the solar homes and other activities and exhibits at the event. The houses are designed to take advantage of heat and light from the sun and cooling breezes and shading. The students add to this natural advantage through their ingenious use of high-tech materials on the market. In the process, they absorb a valuable lesson. Energy is a precious commodity. One of the contests, which forms part of the competition, tests the energy use of the key equipment in the house. During the competition, they must wash and dry 12 towels for 2 days, cook and serve meals for 4 days, clean dishes using a dishwasher for 4 days, and operate a TV video player for up to 6 hours and a computer for up to 8 hours for 5 days. In the comfort test, teams have to design their houses to remain at a steady, uniform, comfortable temperature of 22 to 24 degrees Celsius and relative humidity ranges between 40 and 55%. In the getting around contest, students must use electricity generated by their houses to power an electric car, and the one which completes the greatest number of miles wins the contest. Last year, the competition was won by a university from Germany. The most impressive aspect of their design was the doors. These had wooden panels onto which they had attached solar electric cells in order to capture the sun's rays. The wooden panels were constantly adjusted by a computer to take advantage of the angle of the sun. The students had also considered the fact that in some parts of the world, you can sometimes go several weeks without seeing any sun. Their system was good enough to work without direct sunlight, and even on cloudy days, they could generate enough power to run the house. The runner-up in the competition was an American university. The most innovative feature of their house was a waterfall, which was part of the system to control humidity. The system uses a chemical to remove water from the air, and instead of hiding this process in a cupboard somewhere, they made it into a beautiful and functional feature of the house. As far as we know, this system has never been used inside another home before. And that is one of the reasons why this competition was created, to show how solar energy technologies can be used in the home and so, it is hoped, speed up the process of making them available to everyone. We hope that the Solar Decathlon will encourage students to pursue careers in science and engineering. We also hope that it raises awareness among the general public about this form of renewable energy. We need to think in new ways about energy and how it affects our daily lives. In this country, we use enormous amounts of electricity, and about 85% of that use comes from burning fossil fuels. Our homes account for 21% of total energy consumption. That represents a huge amount of energy. The Solar Decathlon provides students with the opportunity to research energy efficiency and show the world what can be done.
That's the end of the test. Please wait for your question booklets to be collected. Thank you, and good luck.